They're leaving Friday, and so they'll celebrate Easter over in Japan or Korea. So we're excited about praying over them just a moment after she gets through telling us what's going to happen.
Oh, my Lord. Is this on? Okay. I have two testimonies and two prayer requests. First of all, our house is back on the market.
Woohoo!
Yes. I found out the real estate market is up. So our house is like $10,000 over listed this time. So praise the Lord for that. We have done a lot of work. We cut all the trees in the front and painting the deck, paint the porch. My fingers are numb from doing all this, but praise God, everything is done and it's ready. So what I'm realizing, the word from the Lord, the man's heart is to plan, but it is the Lord who directs our steps. His directing is better than our thoughts. Yeah, and also he says his thoughts are higher than ours. And he always works things for better for us. So if there's anybody who feels that your plan is not going like you want and all this, don't worry about it because God has it in control. And he knows the better things for each of you. When we were praying for you guys, I felt like the Lord was saying that winter is past and spring has come.
Amen.
Would you not know it, he says.
Yes, Lord.
In the desert places, there will be spring overflowing. So expect new things that God is going to do. So praise God. And also Japan, I share with you a lot of times about Toby's health and all that stuff, you know, so I thought maybe I wouldn't go back anymore. And, you know, we think like that because we see things not going great and, you know, all that. So, but then my daughter started, they wanted to go team up with us and go to Japan. So I said, okay. And then they all drop out. So it's just Toby and I'm going.
Oh, no.
So, but also when I sent mail to Japan, there was another lady from Texas. I know her because I met her in Japan before. She's going in April also. And she speaks at a close as I you know, speak. So I thought I was going to have only one place. So I told Toby, I said, hey, this time we can relax and spend time with our friends. Maybe we can do some sightseeing, you know. Wrong. And God started changing my plans. And I was looking at tours and all that stuff on the internet and stuff, and emails started coming. God opened two new places that I have never been. It's on the northeast side of Japan. I have a schedule and prayer request there. Toyama and Ishikawa is the new place that he has opened. And the messages he's giving me, it's going to be, I'm going to be exhausted because I'd be traveling. So that place and one of the places, the Yokohama, was a place that I've been discipling leadership. I learned the impartation from, Bethel and all the studies that we've been doing in the church. And so I started doing that, and they started prophesying, and people Ooh. Started receiving that prophecy Ooh. From the leadership Ooh. Instead of just a speaker. Because they used to just line up in front of the speakers, but after the impartation, they will receive
wow.
prayer and prophecies from the leadership. So when I go to Yokohama, I can minister with everybody, so I feel really good. But something happened during the communication, and I thought the leadership was kind of mad at me, and so I didn't think I was going to go. But I received the email. They were all waiting for me. So I was really kind of confused. I thought maybe I had only one place I'm going to be going, but the two new places opened, and the leader called me from Japan and talked to me.
Wow.
And it was just communication. She sent me an email, and I wouldn't get it, and I'll send her an email. She wouldn't get it. It was really funny. And they're all expecting me to come, and God is going to increase what has been imparted over, and he's been speaking, very, very special things to me about that group. So I realize I'm traveling every day. I'm arriving in Japan 11th. From that evening, I'm ministering, praying, traveling, going to meetings every day. So I really need your prayer, because physically I'm really tired right now because of the preparation for the house and everything. But I believe God's going to restore everything. So even that plan has changed. And you think maybe God is not going to use me anymore. Wrong again.
Amen.
And
Amen.
He will.
Thank you, Lord.
As you just submit yourself to the Lord and obey His voice, He will open the doors. So Amen. Expect greater things.
Amen. All right, you stay right there. Toby, come on down. Let's gather around this couple. Lay hands on them. Anoint them and send them out. Hallelujah. This is what we do. Let me get my little thing out of the way. Yes, please take a schedule. That's what I'm looking for. So. Hallelujah. Somebody get around there and spit on them. No, I'm teasing. Put the oil on them. So.
All right, let me step past to here, Annette, to get where I can anoint them.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you have a prophetic word after yes. Earl prays, then feel free to give it to them, because I know they're wide open for that type of encouragement. This is what we do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you for Toby and Jean.
Yes. Yes.
And for what they have meant to us, to this community of faith over the last years.
Yes, Lord.
Father, I thank you for what you have done through them already. But Lord, I what's happened and what's been accomplished already is just the first step. It's the first brick in the building that you're building in Korea and Japan. And Father, I thank you. I thank you for the anointing that rests within Toby and Jean. Father, I thank you that as they go forth in obedience to your word, that you will provide.
Yes.
Father, they are
yes.
seeking first your kingdom.
Yes.
And all
yes.
of the things that they need, you've promised to provide and to add
yes.
unto
yes.
them.
Yes.
So, Father, I thank you for that. I ask you, Father, just to restore to Toby and Jean their strength.
Yes, Lord.
Father, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So, Father, I ask you just to fill them to overflowing
yes,
with your joy. As they go, Father, sharpen the gifts. Sharpen
oh,
the
yes.
gifts within
oh,
them, Lord.
Yes.
Let them move with a supernatural accuracy
yes,
in
Lord.
Prophecy. Father,
yes,
let them
Lord.
Move with power and authority and healing and in deliverance. Father, let the preached word that goes forth, Father, bear fruit. Bear fruit. Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for everything that's going to be accomplished. Now, Lord, surround and protect them. Surround and protect them as they travel.
Yes, Lord.
And, yeah, I'm going to be selfish. And bring them back to us safely.
Yes, Lord.
Yes,
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
thank
Lord.
You, Father.
Yes, Lord. Father, thank I just you, declare Father. Over their lives that this trip that they're taking would far exceed every other trip as
right.
it relates to equipping the saints and activating, Lord, those saints into the gifts of the Spirit, as far as giving, imparting courage and boldness to go for each one that hears them to go beyond where they are, Lord, to take more godly risk in loving people there in Korea as well as particularly Japan. And Lord, I just thank you, God, that there will be immediate results because of that, Father God, that even in the services that they'll see that type of results, God, where people are receiving and being promotions, so to speak, going to new levels in you and your love and in your mercy, and particularly, Lord, new levels in the kingdom and effectiveness, Lord, in your kingdom, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, I also just go ahead and pray, God, for the right person that has the family that has the right credit score and the right type of down payment for their house to sell. Yeah. Thank you that even though we didn't understand, you just wanted to hold it back a little longer so that you could bless them more with the finances, God. And we revel in your wisdom. We revel in your goodness, Father God. And Lord, I just pray and declare the fire. Fire of the Holy Ghost, Lord, in their hands, God, as they impart, Lord, to others, the fire of your love, the fire of your goodness, the fire of your mercy, the fire of your power. Lord, I thank you that this trip is going to be a one where they're marked for life. It will forever, Lord, it will forever mark them in their walk with you and in your kingdom.
Father, I just thank you that the explosion in the spirit, because of their presence and because of their obedience, will make Hiroshima and Nagasaki look like a firecracker.
Yes, 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 yes. Yes.
Yes. Ooh, yeah, yeah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
And not grow weary, and you will walk and not faint.
Oh, that's a good word.
Thank you, Lord.
That's a good word. Thank you, Lord.
The Spirit of God, I just want to show y'all kind of what I see in my mind's eye. But the Spirit of God, it's like, I don't know how to describe it, but it's kind of clear. But it's like a giant that embodies y'all.
Mm.
I don't know if movies, you know, kind of like how you see like a little person, but there's this like clear kind of body suit that's just bigger than them, and they're just kind of that's the Spirit of God over y'all. He's like a giant, but he's y'all. When y'all walk, it moves with y'all. It has the movement of y'all, but it's giant, ginormous over y'all.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Anybody else?
Along with that, your hands will. I see red glowing lava-like hands.
Fire.
That as you walk,
yes, Lord,
this big giant walking
Hallelujah.
Over Japan. You know how Godzilla and all of them did. Anyway, this big giant, like she said, but you've got red hands, both of you. They're glowing red, and all I can say is it's like lava. Lava. Everywhere you go when you touch, it's going to be the fire, lava. Lava type of fire.
Yes, Lord.
Father, you've said that these signs will follow those who believe, that there'll be healings and deliverances and supernatural victories. And yes, Father, I just pray that as they go, as they look back, in the wake behind them, they will see these supernatural manifestations. They're just like the wake that a speedboat leaves behind them. They'll leave behind them a wake of the miraculous, wonderful works and love of God. Oh, thank you,
Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, we just give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory, and we just seal it. We just seal our prayers over this precious couple and the work that they're about to accomplish in the name and with the mighty blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And everybody said amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Be sure and pick up one of their itineraries so you can pray for them.
And I will also post that on the church website
right.
on Facebook, as long as I get a copy of it.
And if you try to pronounce the Japanese names, it's real easy to get baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. Yokomaka. Yokokohama. See? It just starts.
I have a quick testimony I want to share, Pastor.
I like testimony.
Sure.
Amen. I'll sit back down.
Okay, I've got a quick testimony that I just absolutely want to share. We've been praying, you know, over this community of faith, God's provision, particularly among other things. But a good friend of mine, I'm not going to name names, but of this community of faith, was at Walmart the other night, and they had written a check for the amount of their purchase, whatever that was. Well, the cashier took the check, fed it into the machine, and the machine spit it out and said, don't want it, I'm not going to take it. And they asked her to write a second check. So, you know, they thought maybe it was something on the ink of the first check. Second check, spit out, we're not going to take it. And as the cashier stepped away to get the manager, a lady standing nearby, having observed everything that had happened, walked over. When the cashier came back, this lady paid the bill out of her own pocket, unsolicited, except by the love of God and His provision and His protection. So I just want you to know, He sees. He knows what's going on. He's right there with us all the time. And He'll meet every single need.
Yeah. Johnny, hold it close. Thank you.
I just wanted to... I don't really want to do this.
But anyway.
Yes, because I was told to. I'm just presenting the situation with me and Jason right now as far as housing and homes concerned and my natural and everything, our apartment that we've been living in was bought out by an owner, and anybody's leases that are coming up, he's not renewing. So we're kind of in a between. We've been house hunting. We've been approved for a loan. We don't have any down payment whatsoever, so my cousin Ashley told me about the ship thing, and we've applied for that. The house that we have found that we really like, that meets all of our needs plus more, if we were to stay there, because I'm not the moving kind, you know, I want to stay where I'm at for a long time. It's in Hamilton County, it's in White Springs. We're not sure, I have to confirm. Have to confirm if SHIP would allow us to buy a house in Hamilton County. We're not sure that if we were eligible, we might have to buy it in Columbia, but we haven't found anything for us that wouldn't need amount of X repairs. So I'm believing for this house because it's the house that I see ourselves living in kind of thing. So that's just where I'm kind of trying not to fear of being homeless and having to live with somebody and put all of our stuff in storage and all that kind of thing. So it's just kind of what I want to avoid. So I'm just if people would be in agreement with us that he has provided us a home of our own, that we don't have to live with people and we don't have to, so it's just taken care of.
Amen.
So I don't know where to go from here, but besides that, I've presented that and I've, so.
Well, let's pray real quick. You stand right there. Yeah, Jason's not here. Anybody else want to gather around her? We're going to pray God's blessings on her. And she found the house that she likes. How many of you know if mama's not happy,
ain't nobody happy.
So mama's happy with this house. And we're going to pray and ask God to open up every door. I love it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Father, we just bring this precious couple before you.
Yes,
even though
Father.
Jason's not able to be here, he's here in spirit.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, we you've said that if we seek first, I can't get off of that scripture in Matthew, if we seek first the kingdom of God,
that's right,
and
that's
all
right.
of his righteousness,
that's right.
That you will add all of these things. You will add a place to stay. Mm-hmm. You will add mm-hmm. food. Mm-hmm. You will add clothes. Mm-hmm. Why should we take thought for tomorrow? Because today, today's got enough. Mm-hmm. Today has enough. Mm-hmm. And Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, mm-hmm. I declare an
Thank
open
you, Lord.
Heaven over this couple.
That's right.
Through
you
which yeah. your provision can clearly flow. Father, I thank you that you will provide
yes.
every cent
yes.
and more
yes. Yes.
of
yes.
a down
yes. Yes.
payment. Father,
thank
I
you,
thank, you
thank you
that
Lord.
You will just bless their family yeah. finances. And Father, I bind any power of the government to mess things up with stupid rules and regulations. Break through that.
Lord.
Cut through that
come
for
on,
him,
Jesus.
Father.
Come on, Jesus.
Cut through that, Father, right
yes,
now
Lord.
In the
yes,
name
Lord.
Of Jesus.
Yes,
and Father,
Lord.
We just proclaim there will be a moving day
Ooh.
In the near
yes,
in the near
Lord.
Future, Father, that we'll gather around uh-huh. this couple and we'll help
Hallelujah.
Them move their stuff. We'll help them move
Hallelujah.
Their stuff into the new home, God, that
yes.
you have provided.
Yes,
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
And Lord,
Hallelujah.
I just heard washer and dryer. I don't know. But I pray for a brand new washer and dryer to go with the house in Jesus' mighty name. Yeah, one that's got a large capacity thing in it, Lord.
And does real good on greasy clothes
yes,
with tar and transmission fluid
Bless
and oil
them,
all over it.
Bless them. Hallelujah.
Yes, 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 yes.
That's right. Uh huh.
Yes,
Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yes,
and Jason. Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Can you
Glory.
Say amen?
Amen?
Amen. Call it done. Call it done. Wow. I love it when we get to do that kind of stuff, especially when we get to see the results. That's really cool, right? Hallelujah. Are you done?
I guess it's your turn now.
Okay, my turn now, so. Well, I tell you, I want to echo what Earl, I just really have appreciated our prayer times, and I understand everybody works, and so it's hard to get down here from time to time. Obviously, our schedule is a little bit more flexible, but I have just tell you, I look forward to it. I'm so grateful for that. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer, and I'm going to bless you with what we've been praying with about. Amen? So get your receivers out there. You got them? Lord, I pray for each and every one here for the fire of God to touch their lives and to touch their families. I pray twofold. Number one, that it would burn out every vestige of sin, whether it be sins of omission or sins of commission, that you would make us into a people who are pure and blameless before you, O God. And that because of that, Lord, a deeper and much higher level of the fear of God would be the very guiding principle of our lives, God. And Lord, I pray also that that fire of your presence would come with empowerment, Lord, to take us to new experiences in you as we walk with you and each other in the kingdom of God, that you would just totally impress us with your goodness and mercy as you touch the lives of individuals that we run into, obviously not with our cars, but, Lord, in our daily walk, in our daily experience, that the power of God would begin to manifest itself in greater degrees in each of our lives than ever before up to this point in our walk with you. Thank you, fire of God, for coming and blowing through and burning through our lives and upon us, Lord, as we carry that fire into the marketplace, into our families, our works, whatever it may be. and as a testimony even here today into Walmart, in Jesus' mighty name.
And Father, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And yesterday, as we sought your face, you told us to pray about and to ask you for a restoration of joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Father, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. 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 So, Father, I just call forth that fruit right now in the lives of this body of believers. Father, just joy. Joy during the good times. Joy and happiness are different.
Yes.
Joy stays there.
Yes.
Joy goes to the heart of the matter. Happiness is subject.
Yes.
Happiness is subject to the yes. things that happen yes. to us daily. Yes. So, Father, I just release over you,
yes.
over these people, Father, a fresh baptism
yes,
of joy.
Yes, Lord.
And everybody
yes.
said,
Amen.
Ha ha ha, ho ho ho,
ha, 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 ho, ho, ho. Hallelujah. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praying some pretty significant prayers, seeing some answers. So it's really cool to be a part of what God's doing. Well, you know, we talked about crisis last week, and I've got several things percolating in me, and this week I want to talk about the crisis of salvation. I don't know about your life, but my salvation was a crisis. And generally speaking, whenever you come to meet the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, there's a moment of crisis. Indeed, for some of us, because we're a little more stubborn, it could be weeks of crisis that's going on, where God is dealing with you as an individual, dealing with you about your sin, for lack of a better word. And how he woos you. That's a good old Baptist term, isn't it? How you're wooed by the Holy Spirit. And in that moment, or in those days of wooing, there's this real struggle that's going on. Because crisis is indicative of a struggle that goes on. And yet, as you read the Scriptures with that in mind, you see that the Scriptures are replete with crisis after crisis. And in every case, you read how God showed up and showed out in those particular, incidences, and how he moved, and how Romans 8:28 kind of piggybacks on that crisis, bringing about God's goodness and mercy to you. Even if you muck it up, he never stops, because he can't deny who he is. He can't deny his love and his mercy and his power. So his heart is for you. His heart is for people. It's for you and I. And as I looked at this, I just picked out a couple of scriptures, and we'll start with these and then kind of dive into it. In Isaiah, you know it. It's the one that Jesus started his ministry off with. And in Isaiah 61, it says this. It says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tithings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Can you say crisis? When your heart is broken, you're in the middle of all of it. You're confused. You're defused. You don't know the direction that you're... All you know is that you hurt. And you're looking for the salve of God to come and to touch your life. And so he goes on to proclaim liberty to the captives. I've been in a prison ministry. I know the crisis that goes on, and I have literally heard testimony after testimony how they, when they get them back to the, you know, they herd them around like a bunch of cattle. I don't know if you've ever been in the prison ministry before, but they're in these huge blocks, and I don't know if there's individual cells in the blocks. Well, I never went back there. I always had them come to me. I was a little chicken to go back there where they were. but anyhow. So they would tell me, though, as I would meet with them individually, how they would lay in bed, and these grown men, you know, like born to kill and born to raise hello. I didn't say that nasty word. You thought I was going to say it, didn't you? and all these crazy tattoos with skulls and stuff, these big, what you would understand to be macho men that's not afraid of anyone and just soon to rip your head off and look at you. And while they get back in their bunk and all the lights are off, and suddenly you'd begin to hear this weeping of these great men that I'm sure they could probably bench 325 without even blinking. They could bench me and break me in half and serve me up for breakfast. Why? Because they're in the crisis of captivity. I mean, just think about your own life and your own walk with God. How many times have you been in the middle of a crisis with a loved one or a friend, and particularly if they're not right with God, after a couple of days of ministering and sometimes just loving on them, you walk away and you get a sense, God's in this. God's up to something in this. And it's bittersweet. You hate to see the pain and you hate to see the suffering, but you know that God doesn't waste a thing. And suddenly you realize all those prayers I've been praying for this person seems to be culminating in this particular week. And so you have these concepts here, opening the door to the prison of those who are bound, proclaiming the acceptable year of God, of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all those who mourn in Zion. We did that today. Wasn't a crisis, though. It was a pleasure. To give beauty for ashes. It's almost as if the day of the phoenix, you know, the phoenix that rises out of the ashes of the crisis is there. And then, of course, you know Mark chapter 1, real quickly. I'm just going to give you some scriptures here. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Jesus began the ministry. He said, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the good news of the kingdom. And he said, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. How many of you know that the very essence of the word repentance implies a crisis? Particularly that first time when you got right with God. I could stop right now and just let me, you know, I'm always not, you know, I always encourage people when you give a testimony, don't go back 40 years. You should have an up-to-date testimony. But that very first testimony of getting born again and repenting of your sins and realizing that you were a rascal, a dirty, rotten rascal, going your own way, and you deserved hell, and you realized that epiphany came to you, and you were looking for mercy and hoping that God would be true to His word and forgive you of your sins. That moment of ruthless honesty with God. And then the sweet release of knowing that your sins are forgiven. John 3:16, I won't go there. You know, it talks about in Acts chapter 2 when Peter finished his Pentecost sermon. He says, repent so that what? Times of refreshing can come. But if you read the verse before that, the people that heard him, they were so cut to their heart, they cried out, what must we do? It was a moment of crisis for them. How many of you know when God is dealing with you, there's one way? That's right, Marjorie. That's right. There is one way He is dealing with you. And it's not that He's up there, you know, pouting, stomping His feet, saying it's going to be my way or the highway. It's motivated out of His heart of love, realizing that the blessings of the covenant is waiting to be poured out on you. Because the way of the world is only curses and damnation and hurt and pain, etc., etc., etc. It's that moment of crisis. I remember when I was young, I don't like telling a whole lot about this because I don't like bagging on the devil, but I ran with a bunch of crazy boys. And I didn't do half the stuff they did because I know my daddy would beat me half to death, you know, if you ever found out. One of my main prayers when I was a heathen was, Lord, don't let my daddy find out. Don't let daddy find out. I'm fixing to do something really stupid, but don't let my daddy find out. one of my best friends, they were so drunk, they had a 22 down there to shoot. We had big rats where we were. I don't know why we went there, but, you know, when you're stoned out of your mind, it looked like a mansion. And so he was shooting rats, and I guess he mistaken one of our friends, and he shot him. You know, it's kind of like, okay, this is not TV anymore. This is really getting real here. So, you know, what do we do? Well, no, we take him to the emergency room. No, we can't take him to the emergency room. They'll find out. Well, he's bleeding out over here. We got to take, you know. Else can you say crisis? So we did the next best thing. We called his daddy. And then we lied. Boy, we lied. And the daddy was sitting there looking at him like, looking at the wound, looking at us, looking at the room. He finally says, just tell me the truth. You know, we were so watching each other's back. So we all pointed to the guy. It's him. Yeah, the one laying on the ground over there. He did it. Of course, he did the very thing that we were hoping that we didn't have to do. He called the sheriff. Guess what the sheriff did? When you're in a small community, you know, Burks County is much like this community. You know, he had the nerve to call our parents. I was already planning my funeral. I started picking the color out, what kind of casket I wanted, the songs I wanted sung over my, but I knew I was dead. Crisis! God used every bit of that to bring me to a place where one lone guy sitting, we called it the Cremo. Don't ask me why we called it the Cremo. It was like a Dairy Queen. We called it the Cremo there in Brooks County. You go down there and get your sodas, and they had nice milkshakes and stuff. And he saw me. I was sitting up there drinking my soda, and he came running across the street. All of that had led me to a point where I was sitting there going, life sucks. And he run across the street. I didn't really know him. I mean, I knew him in the yearbook, and he was like 3 years older than me. Come running across the street. I rolled my, tapped on my window, rolled my window down. His name was Glenn Thigpen. His middle name was Zuba. Afterwards, we just called him Zuba. Kind of rolls off the tongue nicely. And I rolled my window down, and I said, Glenn, he said, I got something to ask you. I said, well, what? You know, what was running through my mind wasn't redemptive. He said, do you know God loves you? I said, what? He said, God loves you. He sent me over here to tell you that Jesus died. I mean, he gave me the 30-second gospel. And I, being the man of faith and power and under conviction that I was, I cussed him for everything he was worth. Told him to get out of my face, body, 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 and la, 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 la. He just, it made it worse. He was smiling the whole time. Then he finally said, well, I just wanted you to know how much God loves you. Turned around and walked off. That blew my mind. I went home that night and had nightmares. You know what my nightmares was? Dying and being put 6 foot under and the flames of hell. It scared the bejesus out of me. I knew. And it wasn't, do you know why I dreamed that? I mean, I wasn't a charismatic back then, but I had interpretation of dreams. I realized when I woke up, I'm not right with God. And it made me mad because I wanted to do what I wanted to do. But he kept wooing me. And it was somebody else came up. And then somebody else came up. How many of you know that God's the hound of heaven for a purpose? I'm serious, man. It was my moment of crisis. It was more like a month of crisis until I finally gave up. I was back at our mansion in the woods, and I had the boy passed out into an ant bed, of all things. And they were eating him alive, and I had drug him out of the ant bed and just tried to get all the things out. And I looked at him. I pulled him back up. I said, are you okay? I took that to mean yes. And I stopped right there, far enough from the ant pile not to get bit. And I prayed a simple prayer. God, if you're real, be real to me. That was it. I didn't know how else to pray. I went to church, but I didn't listen. I got in trouble in Sunday school because I was antagonistic. They asked me to quit coming to Sunday school. It'd be like Miss Carolyn back there saying, Terry, you got to do something with these kids. They're bringing in here women. God's heart is for people. Listen to this scripture, which you know. And I'm going to try to cut this short. That was a perfect place for somebody to say a snide comment. Yeah, thank you. It's talking about the day of the Lord and the Lord returning. And, you know, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. And then he says this. He said, but the Lord, in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All should come to repentance. I want to just go over a couple of characteristics, which I've already started alluding to the first one as it relates to the crisis of salvation. The reason why I'm sharing this, number one, is to confirm your own salvation, and number two, to help you realize when you're walking in a crisis of someone else's salvation. And I'll give you an experience of that, even that just happened to me this week. Number one is my way. The thing about sin is totally selfish, and I want it my way. Old Blue Eyes. You remember Frank Sinatra? The Old Blue Eyes. If we had internet here, I'd put it up on there and let him sing, you know. I did it my way. And then for my wife, Elvis Presley sung it, and Nancy loves Elvis, and he sang it at the Hawaii conference or whatever you call it when he was out there in 1970-something. I did it my way. Well, you know, that's the essence of sin. I did it my way. I'm doing it my way. And Earl alluded to that whole concept of seek first God's kingdom, and then all these other things will be added to you. After salvation, that's the joy of our hearts, because something happens on the inside. We become brand new people, and suddenly everything has changed. I remember I made the stupidest mistake of my life, and Pastor Stevens in Quitman, Georgia, he's a wonderful man of God. How many know that when you come to church and you're not saved, you fall asleep a lot? And you're sitting there and you're hoping, as a young man, you're thinking, I know after they pass those plates, we only got 15 more minutes and we're done, you know. And, you know, so, well, after I got gloriously saved, because God met me in a very powerful way, I got saved. I just immediately wanted to give testimony. And so they let me give a testimony on Sunday morning in the First Baptist Church. And I had the stupidity to say that even Brother Stevenson's messages were much better than the time before, you know. And, of course, everybody cracked up, and I realized I shouldn't have said it that way. And fortunately for me, he was laughing the loudest, you know, because he understood it wasn't his sermons that got better, it's my ears were open. And so it's all about dealing with things, about doing it your way that God addresses in that moment of salvation. And it's not because he's arrogant and stubborn and a know-it-all, even though he is a know-it-all. He does it his way because he knows it's best for you and I. It's absolutely the best for you and I. So when your house doesn't sell and you're wondering what the heck is going on, I've claimed, I've rebuked, I've named it, I've claimed it, I've even stomped my feet and maybe said a bad word. And then all of a sudden you put it back on and the lady says, oh, by the way, your house increased $10,000. I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry. I just didn't see what you were... Not that they did that. If it would have been me, that's probably what I would have done. You know, Paul is, when you think about Paul, I really want to get to the Paul's conversion. Let's go to Acts chapter 9 for a few minutes. When he got saved, and y'all know Paul, right? This guy was like the PhD of his era. He graduated, or he sat at the feet of Gamaliel, which was one of the big dogs, you know. of the seminary of his time, and it was a rite of passage, you know, where you could, I had one guy one time come up to me. This is, hello, come in. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Yes, you can send that $25 million right now. Thank you. I had a similar experience where it was a guy that was a little bit older than I had just got called to New Covenant, and I had finished my degree. And he came up real snot. He was a snot ball, just really arrogant. And he said, yeah, you got your master's, huh? I said, yeah, I did. He said, what was it, a year's degree? I said, well, yeah, something like that. You know, and I went on about my business. I did good. I only thought for a couple of seconds about hitting him. Well, 10 minutes later, he came back, and he was a little bit better. He said, no, really, tell me about it. I said, it was 3 years. I said, it was the three hardest years of my life, but I did it. I said, ha, what about yours? He borrowed mine. I said, what? I said, please, let me, I got it online. Oh, okay. As far as the standards of the law, Paul said he was perfect. As far as zeal, what did he do? You remember? He sure did. He hammered them. He killed them. You remember when Stephen was stoned in Acts chapter 8? They said that they laid their cloaks before Paul and he was giving his assent to it. Basically, he was saying, throw another stone. Throw another stone. Can't you hit him in the head? And then he went and he got papers. It'd be like going to the local law enforcement people as a bounty hunter, maybe, back in the Western days, and you come and say, I want your permission to drag all these sorry people that's threatening our way of life. And if I happen to beat them up a little bit on the way before I get them to jail, I want to know that that's okay. And so they wrote him the script and said, go do it, go after him. So he gets on his donkey, tearing out toward Damascus. Now, if you were in Damascus, how would you be feeling when the word got to you via the camel trail that Paul is coming here? Run. I'd probably say, you know, there's Jesus told us to shake off the dust and get out of town. Maybe it's a good time to do that right now. Shake the dust off and get out of town. And so he had come to that place where he was going to go kill the Christians. And then in Acts chapter 9, let's just read it real quickly. While breathing out verse 1, breathing out threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, he went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogue of Damascus so that if he found any who were of the way, meaning Christianity, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a great a light shone around him from heaven, and then he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Now, I would suggest that he used that word kurios in the Greek definitely on purpose, because he had finally ran into an authority that was much larger than him. Who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom you persecute. It's hard to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then the Lord said, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And so the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing the voice and seeing no one. And then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus, and he was there 3 days. He was there 3 days without sight and neither eating nor drinking. So he began the fast. You think you would fast? He had this encounter. He was walking along, trotting along, thinking that way he was doing God a favor by killing the way, this new sect. And he had this crisis, this moment when the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings met him. One of my favorite prayers for people when I know they're going through stuff is, hem them up, Jesus. hem them up. And then I prayed that crazy prayer like, Lord, just fix a fix to fix them so that nobody else can fix them. If you can say that without messing it up, you really are spirit-filled. The worst thing that you can do is to get into a fix that God's got going on to try to fix it for the person, and all you're doing is short-circuiting the hand of God. While it may be painful, it's also God's best. So you just need to pray for grace. So here he was. He had this problem. He was going his way. He was wanting to do it his way. And listen, Paul's understanding is really grounded in the Scripture. Because he knew that the Scripture that said, anyone that hangs on a tree, or in other words, who is crucified, Deuteronomy 24, 21, I think, is accursed of God. So in his mind, remember, Gamaliel taught him, man, he had the best theological education that there was. He knew that Jesus died as a criminal, crucified. And in his mind, this Jesus is cursed. And I refuse to watch him impact Judaism that I love so much. I'm going to drag him into prison. Bunch of crazy people. Deceived. I love my country and our religion. There is no way that this man is the Messiah. And yet Jesus plainly hung on a tree. Guys, that's his motivation. He thought he was doing Israel a favor. He knew enough to know that this guy can't be the Messiah because he's cursed of God. And the truth is, he was cursed of God for you and I. He took the curse of our sin and the penalty and the punishment. See, he didn't have that revelation yet. And so, how many of you know Jesus can get the job done? He just said, I just let out a little bit of my glory. Just a little bit. Get him on the ground. Do I now have your attention? Who are you, Lord? What do you want? Get up, go to Damascus, and you'll be told what you're to do. You know, that still happens today. I put it on my Facebook page this week because I follow Iran and Iraq and the Middle East. I follow it pretty closely. Because obviously, as far as we understand Scripture, that's where the culmination is going to hit eventually, where, you know, everybody's going to try to attack Israel and all this other kind of stuff together. Oh boy, I hope I'm alive when that happens. And see the angels of God. It's kind of like, I keep shooting them, but they're not falling down. Iran hates Christians. They hate them. It is totally opposite of what they teach. They put you in prison there. They can stop flesh and blood. And if you don't quit talking, they'll cut your tongue out. They know how to make it. But throw you in jail, and you're on your own, buddy. Maybe your family will send you an M&M every now and then. So Jesus, being Jesus, does something that the leadership of Iran can't touch. So when they go to sleep at night, he appears to them in a dream. It's almost, I've been following it, and this is not the first time. This is happening in other African countries where they come. And my good friend Glenn Hatcher that goes over there, he's, matter of fact, he's going to Morocco here real soon. He'll run into these people who they're called people of peace because they've had these encounters, and they're looking for someone to explain to them who this man is that they keep dreaming. Others, he just says, I'm Jesus, and immediately, they say, well, I'm following you. I love you. I'm Jesus the Messiah. Follow me. And then you guess what they do? They do what the rest of the disciples did. Just without blinking the eye, they go, I'm following you. Wonder what kind of dream that is. What kind of majesty and glory that's in that dream that impacts that person while they're sleeping. So in a moment, after years and decades of following a lie, just wake up and go, I'm following him. There's one guy in the video that I had up. There's one guy who's on the pilgrimage. You remember going back to Mecca? You know, they do it over so many years or whatever. They go back to Mecca. He had the dream halfway there. Jesus appeared to him and said, I'm Jesus. Follow me. He goes, okay. He turns, he stops, goes back home. Ain't no sense going over there. God's not over there. Now, sometimes when we tell these testimonies and we read about these testimonies, we kind of think like, well, this is in a movie. It's not a movie. It's real life. A crisis moment. Just like Paul getting stopped in a dream, in a vision. Iran's leadership, Toby, they don't know how to stop that. You will not go to sleep from now on. No sleeping allowed. We're passing out all these, what do you call that medicine, Earl, that keeps people awake? I forgot what it's called. Huh? No-dos. We're passing out no-dos. You will not go to sleep. Jesus will not be allowed to speak to you in your dream. Uh-huh, yeah. Are y'all getting a feel for the majesty of God? Are you getting a feel that he creates the crisis? Well, my son, he's an addict. I'm telling you, he still gets in that addict's face and creates a crisis. Like, you're going to jail, or you're having to face this, what you've done to this person and that person, to your love. Let me tell you something. When Jesus points his finger, there's something about that little finger of his that penetrates your heart and mind. It's not condemnation per se, but it is guilt. You remember your salvation experience? I hope and pray you felt guilt, because that meant you were under conviction. And you responded saying, Lord, please forgive me. An old Southern Methodist preacher used told me years ago, he said, son, you got to get them guilty before you can get them saved. There's some wisdom to that. So Paul thought he was doing God a service. Then there's the unexpected. God is the God of the unexpected. This was Paul's experience. This light knocked him off his donkey. What knocked you off your path? What put you on your knees? What brought the flood of reality to you that says, I have got to deal with this loving God? I'm telling you, with all the love in my heart that I can muster, if this is not an experience in your salvation, you might need to go back and take another look at it. I want you to notice something about this unexpected thing that happens. The first thing that came out of his mouth was Lord. Lord. In other words, what he was saying is, what little bit I understand of you demands my all. And that's why I keep saying this whole thing about getting your ticket to heaven, receiving Jesus as your Savior, but not as your Lord, I'm telling you, it's a heresy. It is not the gospel of the first 600 years of the church. Actually, that was introduced by Bill Bright. God bless him. I'm sure he's in heaven. And it also comes, well, it comes from a particular form of teaching that says once you say, amen, be my Savior, that you're going to heaven, you'll always go to heaven no matter what you do. It's called eternal security. And I believe I'm eternally secure as long as my relationship is intact. And I tell you, the more I study this, the more I realize it's just a sneaky tactic of the enemy. Because it's kind of like, you know, I said my little prayer, I shook the hand, maybe even cried a tear or two, got dunked, here I go, Ricky, 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 do. Come up, and nothing changes. Maybe for a week, maybe for a month, And then slowly you just slip right back into the way that you were living. And then you walking down decade after decade, I'm eternally secure, I'm eternally secure, I'm eternally secure. Never really understanding the scripture that says, come and follow me. Follow me. Earl prayed it today. Seek first the kingdom. I'm telling you, the church in America is replete with this stuff. And when you begin to preach in this vein, you can run into a bunch of demons. And you need to learn how to duck. Let me give you some ways of the unexpected. Number one, restless. Restlessness. Mordecai and Esther. The king had got up. He was restless, it says in Esther chapter 6. He ordered the books to be brought in and read to him. And he read about how Mordecai had stopped an attempt on his life. And he said, what's been done to reward this man? Little did he know that Haman was up to kill Mordecai. And Haman had to take a horse with Mordecai on it, saying, make way, make way. See what the king does for those who favor him. And the Bible says his face fell. I wonder why. Then I put down there just other people, which I'll piggyback on that example. You remember Nathan went to David after he did his little shenanigans with Bathsheba and had her husband murdered or killed. And so he comes in and he said, well, this is one guy, all he has one little sheep, and it was like a son to him, and he was petting it, and an old sorry neighbor of his grabbed that sheep and took it from him and killed it and ate it. And David in his wrath rose up and said, who is he? And Nathan looked at him and said, thou art. Unfortunately for us, David's heart was toward God. You know what he did? He hit the ground and said, I am guilty. I've sinned. Please forgive me. And we have the greatest prayer in Psalms 51 that perhaps the entire Psalms covers. Renew in me a right spirit, O God. You can be the other person. You can be the other person. I have experiences, and I promise you I'm not lying when I tell you this stuff. I don't even know how to make this up, even if I did want to lie. So I'm going down. You know, I go to the gym. I enjoy working out. And I'm going down there. When I get there, it's kind of like, don't talk to me. I'm pumping iron, you know. I'm going after it. I'm trying to do this stuff. And I pray in the spirit because it hurts so bad, some of the stuff I'm doing. And so I was next to this new guy. I didn't even know him. I just glanced at him. I didn't even say anything. I didn't grunt. And so I was working out on the butterflies, and I was pumping 120 on my butterflies. It makes you feel better when you holler. You know? He makes a snide comment, you know, about working out and whatnot, and I smiled. But, you know, I've matured enough to know that I need to stop. So he starts telling me about working out. And I thought that was going to be it. You know, he's going to make a joke. Then he started telling me about raising his $2. You know, we have a heart here about fixing up this room for single parents. Well, he was a single parent. His daughters now are 22 and 18. He said his wife went off on the deep end. So he starts, you know, of course, I stopped. I'm just sitting there listening politely to him. He's telling me about his daughters and how he survived those years, and it was difficult. And he said they turned out pretty good. And I'm telling you, this is exactly how it happened. My daughters turned out pretty good. And the next sentence is, but I'm really concerned about my eternity. I am not making it up. I mean, he went from one sentence right into spiritual eternity issues. He said, I just don't know. He said, and I'm looking at him, you know, I'm trying not to smile too big. And I'm just looking at him. And he just goes off in all this Eastern religion stuff, and I believe in fate. When he said, I believe in fate, I said, you know, I do too. And he said, really? I said, but I call it destiny. He said, oh, I like that better. And so I said, well, let me tell you about my destiny. He said, okay. So for 3 minutes, I told him about the destiny of being born again, alive in God, loving Him. And I said, I could sit here until next week telling you story after story of how good God has been to me. I said, because your goodness will never match up to God's goodness. If you compare, because he's talking about being good. I said, now if you compare yourself to Ted Bundy, you come out pretty good. Mother Teresa, I don't think you're going to compare very good to her. I said, but you know the problem is that none of those people are the standard. God himself is the standard. He said, really? I said, yeah. But he's made a way. I said, that's why he sent Jesus to die for your sins. And all you have to do is ask him to forgive you, to come into your life. And you know what he did? He looked at me and he said, it's the first time that's ever made sense. I need to think about this some more. What days do you come down here? I said, well, it's this, this, and this. He said, okay, and we'll get back to you. I was the other. Now, it wasn't like Nathan the prophet, like dirty, rotten, stinking worm sinner you. I wasn't that way at all. I was his crisis. I stirred the pot. Because see, he's all about self-righteousness. I knew it. I picked up on it immediately. I'm not a bad guy. No, neither am I. I almost told him, I'm perfect. But I didn't. I am covered, washed, cleansed. I walk before him in holiness and purity. If I do muck it up, I am quick to repent. I love repenting. It's a grace gift. Who in the right mind in this great relationship that we have with such a loving God would want to offend him in the first place? You know what else can cause your crisis? I call it redemption lift. You're a good guy. You got morals. You do right for the most part by people. You got a good education. You try to be decent. People would think about you and go, he's a good guy. She's a great lady. But on the inside, you're not right with God. And the very blessings of life. How many of you know the Bible says he reigns on what? The just and the unjust. The very blessings of God can be the very thing that holds you back and creates the crisis. You know rich people need Jesus? They really do. You know, I mean, I'd like to be tempted with that. Frustrations is another one. How many of you run into this particular person I was talking to yesterday, full of frustrations? Just full of frustrations. I mean, there's some tax issues involved. IRS is breathing down on their necks. I mean, all kind of crazy stuff, you know, is going on. And I was just thinking of one scripture after another scripture after another. You know what they're telling me about that person? They may read the Bible, but the Bible doesn't read them. They may come to the Bible with an attitude, let me see how I can get blessed, instead of an attitude that says, how can this form my life? Are you guys okay? I mean, it's getting kind of quiet in here. Unanswered prayer. If your prayers are not being answered, here's a newsflash, okay? If your prayers are not being answered, it's probably a good time to stop and take inventory and ask yourself this one important question. Why? Why? Now, it could be a timing issue. Or it could be you're asking the wrong things. James, what is it, chapter 3? Ask and amiss, I promise you, I set the air conditioner on 72, but it doesn't feel like it, does it? We might want to get that checked before Easter. The last thing that I want you to understand about the crisis of salvation is that it always is followed with revelation. Always followed by revelation. What did the Lord say to him? He said, go to Damascus, and what? It will be told you what to do. So he went there. Of course, God had to talk to Ananias about it because he said, don't you remember that dude's killing everybody and you want me to go lay hands on this sucker? Are you crazy? I'm going to lay hands on him, all right. You know. And so he goes there and he says this in Acts chapter 9. He says, and Ananias, when he went his way and entered into the house and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you came has sent me that you may receive sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost, right there, right there. I'm telling you that being filled with the Spirit of God is essential to your salvation experience. Has nothing to do with you saying, see my bow tie, retie my bow tie, untie my bow tie. It's not about speaking in tongues. It's about being filled with His presence so that you rightly represent Him. So as He walked on the earth, you walk on the earth. The gifts are just the blessings of walking with Him. They're tools in your tool bag to help you be better effective and when you're ministering to people. I had the gift of discernment when that man looked at me from one sentence to the next. He said, but I'm so unsure about my eternity. And my discernment kicked in and said, I need to talk to this man. He was filled. And if you understand in Galatians chapter 3, and my wheels are down and I'm coming into the airport. Galatians chapter 3, Paul says, listen, after that encounter on the Damascus Road, I went out for 3 years into the desert. I didn't get this revelation from anybody except the Lord Jesus. How many of us in our salvation experience would come into a place that we can say there was created in me such a hunger to know Him? That's salvation. That's what keeps you. For the next week and the next month and the next year and the decades to follow, because there's this insatiable appetite to consume His presence by meditating through His Word and fellowshipping with Him through prayer. That's salvation. That comes from the salvation crisis. You know why? Because He was so good to save your soul. You can't get enough of Him. Read this book a number of years ago, Eternity in Their Hearts, by Don Richardson. It comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 14. That God has put eternity in the hearts of men. We call it the God vacuum. Every one of us have it. And he goes on to talk about tribes and people out in the sticks, how he went to these places and got written testimonies of missionaries when they would get there. The only thing that they lacked was the name Jesus, because God had put such eternity in their hearts that they realized that there was a God who loved them. And it was so easy for these missionaries to say yes and share the scriptures about Jesus and how He came to die. They even knew that they were not His equal. And so when He got there, the entire tribes would come to know Christ in a day's time because there were eternity in their hearts. It's not in print, obviously, but you could probably find it if you Google it. It'll take you a couple hours to read it. It's a real easy read. It's a great read. Eternity in their hearts. And that, I'm closing with this, that, Ecclesiastes 3:14, He's placed eternity in the hearts of humanity, is the very foundation of why we all have that crisis of salvation. Because we already know this God vacuum, there's more. There's more. there is more. And then crazy Randy Clark comes out with a book entitled, There Is More. One of the things the Lord has put on my heart, I compiled this, it's called spiritual coaching. I've got two guys that don't come to church, mainly because of their working schedule. The other guy I ran into last week, goodness, I told you I can't make this stuff up. God is my witness. He's really loosey-goosey, kind of stuff. His crisis has been his heart. He's 20-something years old, and he's going to have a pacemaker. So he came over to my house a couple of weeks ago, and he just looked at me. We were around the table, and he said, back when I was young, he's 22, okay. Back when I was young, I did a bunch of crazy stuff. I said, well, you don't have a monopoly on that. He said, I'm not making this stuff up. He's sitting at the table with me. He said, I need to get right with God. Come into my house. He said, I need to get right with God. I just pulled this out. I showed it to him. Said, there's 7 lessons in here. Take us about 14 weeks to get through it. I said, will you commit to working through this and looking up the scriptures and meditating on them and then bring them back to me, and I'm going to work through it with you, and we're going to sit down, and it's going to be a Socratic way of you learning about the kingdom of God. He said, what's Socratic? I said, I'm going to ask you a question and you're going to give me an answer. And then based on your answer, I'm going to ask you another question. And then we're going back to the Word of God and we're going to see what the Bible has to say about it. And without blinking an eye, he looked at me and he said, would you? I said, of course I would. I'm the crisis of his salvation experience. Now, he's already gotten over most of it. How many know when you're 22 and your ticker's not doing good, it kind of gets your attention? I just stepped right into that thing. I said, I can do that. I can do that. I'll end with this, that after you have your crisis of salvation, you can walk with other people who are having their own. And you can share about God's goodness and mercy. And you can share the backside of the blessings and the inheritance and the goodness of God. Everybody in this room, if you're truly born again, you've had your moment. You cried out to God. It can be all kind of prayers. God, I don't know what to do. God, I'm at the end of my rope. So my mind was like, God, I've been so stupid. And then the Spirit quickly said, yes. And then I said, you didn't have to be so quick with your answer. How about this one? I've made a mess of things. My finances are the way they are because of my bad choices. My marriage is the way that it is because I want my own way. And on it goes. I mean, I could stop now, and each one of you would give me what you went through. But here's the good news. Jesus comes in. And just like calming the storm on the sea, he comes in and says, peace be still. Now you might have to walk out a few things, but you'll do it with a totally different attitude. Peaceful. At peace. Full of his love and goodness and mercy. And that revelation thing that I talked about, you realize he'll never leave. And he will never forsake me. Guys, we've got it good. we really have got it good. Stand with me. I want to just grab the hand of someone next to you. Some of you may be saying, well, I've had my crisis of salvation, and it's like I keep having several more after salvation. Well, that's called the crisis of sanctification. And we'll talk about that maybe in the future. But let me tell you something. Those are wonderful things. They really are. The moment of crisis in His presence. The Bible calls them suddenlies. Right now, in your own heart, I just want you to, you already know this. You either right now are under conviction and you're thinking, man, I've mucked stuff up. You may be even thinking, well, I thought I was going to heaven because I just thought I could say that prayer and then go on about my business. And you realize today that that's not the truth. The thing about salvation is lordship. You've been bought with a price. You are not your own. And that's not a bad thing because His ways are so much better. So if that's you right now, between you and God, just go ahead and tell Him you're sorry. Because He's convicting you if that's you. Ask Him to forgive you. He will. He'll do it in a heartbeat. And just ask Him right now and say, Lord, just fill me with Your prayer, with Your presence. Fill me with Your Spirit. And now I'm going to bless you. Father, after we walk through these difficult times and we come out of it forgiven and cleansed, close to You, totally in love with You, Father, we know that we're in a time and a season where we're minding all our own business and people are so hungry for You. And You, like over in Iran, where You appear to them in dreams and vision, here in America, You're just convicting people about, I don't feel right with God. If I die, I'm not sure what my eternity will be. You just do it in all kinds of ways, Lord. I pray today that we would be the other. Not like Nathan necessarily, the prophet that went to David and said, Thou art the man. But we'd be like Nathan, the prophet that would point to Jesus and say, Jesus is the man, the Savior for your from your sins, to fill you with life and purpose. Right now, grace each and every one of us to be that other person, to carry the good news, to be ready, as Paul said, in season and out of season. That means when you're exercising and when you're not exercising. It means wherever you may be. I bless them, Lord, that this week, they'll have those strange experiences where they'll be talking about the beautiful day and the flowers and the birds and everything's rosy, and all of a sudden, oh man, I just so have these issues going on in my life. And that in that moment, allow the love and mercy of God to flow out of each and every one of them. Lord, we don't have to be theologians. We just get to share the love and mercy and grace that we've experienced ourselves. And so we thank You for that. I go ahead and thank You in advance because I know it's Your heart, and I know You're not only will answer this prayer, but You're already answering it. And we just thank You for that. And will You just do me a favor and just say, Lord Jesus, I want more. Lord Jesus, I want more. More of You. More of Your Word. More of the Holy Spirit. More encounters with You and others that reveals Your glory. In Jesus' name. Can you say amen? All right, we'll hug somebody before you leave. God bless you. Thank you for coming. I would have ended sooner, but we have way too many testimonies. No, I'm teasing. I loved every minute of it.